Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject today. We're watching America fall. And we're talking about what we need to do in relationship to it as Christians and as conservatives. We're seeing all of this come together, and it seems as though it's a spontaneous response and result of George Floyd's death, which was an untimely, unfortunate, I believe, murder, and it was videotaped. We understand it. So I'm not taking sides on that basis. I'm saying let the justice system handle it. However, I don't think that we need to handle anything like that by mob rule by any stretch of the imagination. But they use that as the so-called catalyst or the rationale behind starting what we're seeing today that's running across America and around the globe. And yet we see this taking place. It is the destruction of our constitutional republic called the United States of America. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. My name is Ron. I'm calling for the first time, and I'm glad to hear that there is a voice on the radio that is actually speaking, you know, the things that I believe and the things that I actually believe are true about what's going on today. I got to say though, I'm still somewhat troubled because we've been hearing and I'm sure you've been preaching. We hearing the revelations, the things that are coming to pass, and also the fact that Jesus preached he taught his disciples us to pray, "Thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth." We understand that there's a time coming. First of all, there's going to be, you know, the rapture of the church. I don't have to go through all of that, but we know that there's going to be a falling away. We knew that there was going to be a falling away. We hear it preached all the time. We talk about it. And we're still talking about it. We're talking about it even today. And it amazes me that we're so surprised that all of this is happening. And I've been hearing this for over 30, 40 years. And my question is always, okay, well, what are we going to do about it? You know, God sent a Joseph in preparation for what was coming.
That's right.
And I'm thinking that, we could go through that. But that was a good one. And I'm thinking, why are we just talking about this? Who is preparing? What the church should be preparing for what's going on? We have the technology. We have so many things available to us. If this were to happen, there should be cells all over the United States of churches, of Christians, individuals, homes that should be ready for this, and nobody's thinking about it. Could you comment on that for me,
please? Yes, sir Ray. I believe I can do so, but our guest today is Pastor Davis. Pastor Davis, respond.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to speak to that. Thank you, brother, for calling in and with your comments and you know, your input on what we are discussing on today. But my stance that I take on that?
Yes.
I'm viewing this in the very same way.
Amen.
Can I say that we're not surprised?
That's right.
Or really shocked?
That's right.
But we are wondering what is going on, because we live in an information age where so much information is already available for us and to us. You can Google anything and find out anything that you want to know about any type of subject. But in this particular case here, as long as we have been preaching the Word of God, I've been in the ministry, I've been in the church in particular, for 35 years. And I have heard the gospel preached through many of the old-time preachers. And they warned us in advance that these types of days were coming.
Absolutely.
But what we are wondering, what the wonder is for me, if I had so many people in the same group or in the same company with me in the body of Christ that heard the same message that I heard, if you understood what it were that were preached to you, why are you so surprised? In other words,
that's right.
Because preparation should have been made.
Yes.
And we do understand that. But then what we are looking at, and the reason why I say the preparation is lacking, for some reason, Dr. Youngblood, I think the church has let the devil lull them to sleep.
Yes. In fact, you say that and you touch on that point. And for our listeners' benefit, this is part of the answer to what your question is. As the churches, listen carefully, there's not a mainline denomination in America today, not one, not a denomination that has not already fallen for the social gospel, that is the LGBTQ, that is abortion on demand, that is that homosexuality is all right and it needs to be embraced, that is that the drug culture is all right, that is the social justice approach, which is nothing but cultural Marxism that's crept into the churches today. And so it is like the 10 virgins that's found in Matthew chapter 25, and we understand there, verses 1 through 13, we understand there that five were prepared and five were not. And so we can take that and understand it, that we're looking at those in the church today that, for the most part, Brother Davis, are not prepared.
Amen.
Yes, we've been told this. Yes, we understand the scripture. Yes, we know the scripture says, if I can use poor grammar to make a point, it's going to get badder and badder and not better and better.
Amen. Amen.
But that doesn't mean that we ought not to be standing up and ready to do something in response to it. But for the most part, I'm finding that Christians are asleep. Pastors are asleep. Yep. Pastors are not preaching the truth of the gospel. In fact, tell you don't have to respond to it by any name, but tell me the last time you heard a pastor stand in the pulpit and talk about the social, moral, ethical issues and how we need to stand against them and what we ought to do. When's the last time you heard a pastor talk about the sodomite lifestyle from the pulpit and how it's antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth? When's the last time you heard a pastor stand in the pulpit and say that you ought not to be a drunk and say, I'm saved? When's the last time you heard a pastor in the pulpit stand and preach against what we see taking place today in our society and against the socialist, communist, Marxism system? Most do not, because they're afraid, as I've said so many times, Pastor Davis, they're concerned about the numbers, nickels, and noses.
Amen.
They're not concerned about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, I call that compromise.
Compromise, absolutely.
I mean, we're not here to compromise with the world.
Absolutely.
You are here to give them straight up from
the truth
pages
in love
of Scripture.
That's right.
What thus saith the Lord. This is what God says that you must do if you want to have life in general, abundant life, and eternal life. Now, everybody wants to be blessed, but nobody wants to obey God.
That's right.
The only way that you can be blessed, your blessing hinges on obedience to the word.
Absolutely.
Now, again, everything we said, everything that we've heard the other brother just got through saying, others may come in. We need 57 more, y'all, to call in.
That's right.
And just give us more comments. Give us more input.
Amen.
On this subject, because this is a serious situation that we're facing in the church on the day.
And, Brother
Davis, two of the greatest things I said, and there are others, but two of the greatest things I said were enemies of the church, were contentment and compromise.
That's right.
When we get content with things as the way they are, Dr. Youngblood, watch out. It's getting ready to bust out at the seams.
And one of the things, if I can say this, as our caller is still on the line, God has always used, you can go back to the nation of Israel, you can go back to the history of America, God has always used catastrophic scenarios to get our attention as a people. Reflect back to 9/11. Across America, you could drive down the expressways and see signs that says, pray for America.
Amen.
Even
Amen.
The socialist, Marxist, communist network news called CNN had anchors on the television saying, pray for America.
Amen.
Pray for America. And I believe that God is in the process of judging our nation, and I believe part of that judgment we see coming by the social upheaval, part of that judgment that we see is as a result we see in the form of major weather conditions, et cetera, et cetera. But God's in the process of judging us as a nation because we've turned our back on God.
Amen.
When it comes down to them, what should we do?
I fully agree with that, and which causes me to raise the question even more. And it's not too late. We see it coming. We see it coming. I think the bottom line is that we are about to. Our economy is about. I don't see it not happening. Our economy is about to blow.
Yes.
And it's going to be a deeper depression. depression, not just here in these United States, but across the world. And we need to have an answer. We need to have, if there's no water, if there's no electricity, if people are out there looking for the same things, food, how come, why is it the church isn't on top of that? We have the message, and we've yes. had it for many, many, many years. You're right. You're exactly right. People are asleep. Not only are people asleep, churches are asleep. And here we yes. are. Here we are at the back end talking about this, trying to catch up, and we haven't done anything to prepare for the last 20 or 30 years. The technology is out there. But who is awake enough to have started doing something about it? It's not just them.
Well, brother, one of the things that we need to recognize is, and you know, the scripture says judgment begins at the house of God. And what we find is, if my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked
Amen.
Ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Our homes need healing. Our churches need healing. Our families need healing. Our land needs healing. But it starts with, if my people, i.e., if my people, Christians, if my people, those that are saved, if my people that have a relationship to God will humble ourselves, turn from our wicked, confess our sin. We need to recognize, just as Nehemiah did in chapter 1, Nehemiah prayed and confessed his sins personally. He prayed and confessed his sins nationally for the sins of the nation. And then he was able to stand and say to those that he was speaking to, who's going to stand up and follow me? Let's rebuild the wall. And as they're rebuilding the wall, they had all of the enemies coming against them to tear down and destroy. And yet they continued to work. And as they were working, they were watching. As they were watching, they had the sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. They were working and still prepared to do spiritual warfare, as we'd call it today. And we need to recognize that. But
Amen.
Brother, thank you so much for your call. Keep on praying. Keep on looking up, for our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
You spoke earlier about fear, and I wanted to encourage all of your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, just like that very kind young man that just called and was concerned about our preparedness. One of the things that I believe that we can do is to, number one, not fear, knowing that the Lord has told us to fear not. He said in Isaiah 41:10, to fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not
Amen.
Dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And we should, as a church, as the body of believers, you know, every church is like a circle. Inside that circle, there's a smaller circle of those people who are saved. Sometimes there are lots of people in that big circle who don't know Jesus, who don't know
right.
the Lord. As you alluded to earlier, they are not even saved. So inside that large circle of a church, there's a smaller circle of those who are born again and walking with the Lord. And as a husband of a wife who went through a diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, five-year battle with cancer, and I was in the hospital with her every night except for three nights, I would say that the number one thing that we can do is to hide God's word in our hearts through
Amen.
scripture memorization. And if any of your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, are shooters, they'll understand that when you run out of ammo, it's a bad thing. Even though you've still got a gun in your hand and you may be target practicing, you may be hunting, you may be doing anything, but when you run out of ammunition, it's a bad thing. And I literally ran out of spiritual, scriptural ammunition as I was ministering to my wife and washing her with the word of God there in the hospital room and speaking to her. She doesn't want to hear, oh, honey, it says somewhere in the Bible something like so-and-so. She wants to hear the word of God spoken to her absolutely like it's written, with a reference, and being able to back it up by saying, see, here it is. So we as Christians need to study God's word, hide it in our hearts, because if we do go through what we believe we're going to go through, the number one thing to be prepared with is God's word. And then, as that brother alluded to earlier, we do need to be prepared. And it really encourages us for y'all to speak the truth in love. And I want to leave you with this. George Patton, the great World War II battle commander, said, courage is fear hanging on a minute longer. So I want to encourage all your listeners to hang on, seek the Lord, study the Word, listen to your show every day, and encourage the other small subset of believers in each church to get prepared, like that brother said earlier. And thank you so much for your show.
Amen. Thank you so much for your call and your words of encouragement and the words of encouragement to our listeners today. And you could not have been any more correct than say we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. In fact, one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible about the Word of God, the statutes and the testimonies and the law of God, found in Psalms 119.
Amen.
No
Amen.
Greater chapter in all of the Word than chapter 119 in the book of Psalms about the Word of God. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood and Pastor Davis. I just wanted to piggyback off of the comment the caller made earlier. And I was in the Iraq War 2006 to 2007 for a year, and we have what is called a quick reaction force team. And one of the things that we do when we go on mission is we make sure that we bring ample ammunition. And so, just staying in the same vein of preparation, the great Benjamin Franklin once said that failure to prepare is preparation to failure. And if you didn't have enough ammunition on you, if you got in a firefight in Iraq with the insurgents, then it would take the quick reaction force team about 20 minutes to get to you. So you wanted to make sure you had enough ammo to be able to fire your weapon as often as you could. So I believe the spiritual analogy of having the Word of God hid in our hearts that we may not sin against God, and that we would be ready to defeat the enemy with the Word, because that's how Jesus defeated Satan. And so I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. You're exactly right. We need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. We might not sin against Him. We need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear, the Scripture
Amen.
Says. And each of us as believers have that responsibility. Pastor Davis, one of the things that comes to mind is where the Scripture says in Matthew 5, and it's found in other of the parallel Gospels, Synoptic Gospels also, is that we're the salt of the world, salt of the land, if the salt has lost its savor, it has no value but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And the salt, talking about Christians, and so the salt can be, in the analogy there in the Scripture, the church. And if the church has lost its savor, its benefit, its value, what is the value of it but to be cast out and trodden underfoot? Could it be, and I'm saying this in a hypothetical question, but yet I believe this is the fact. Could it be that the church, because we have seen the great falling away, we have seen the apostasy taking place. We've seen that for years.
Amen.
And as a result of that, the church has lost its savor, i.e. the Christian, and there's no value but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And I've seen that with this shutdown of the churches. There are churches across America today, still thousands of them, that's still not open. That the government and the governors and the mayors in some of those states are saying, you can't open. Yet the bars, the lounges, and the pot shops and liquor stores are all open, but they can't open the churches back up. And yet there are a lot of churches that could open. In fact, I talked with someone the other day that said they're planning on opening their church the end of August. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, where there seems to be a calmness in the hearts and the minds of many that are supposed to be pastors that are saying, if the government says it, we'll just shut the churches down.
Amen.
It's as though there's a mindset in society today that COVID-19 only resides in the churches, so therefore we need to shut them down. But I believe it's a good evident token that the great falling away has taken place. We've seen the apostasy taking place. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 and following, we understand that before the Antichrist steps on the scene, the lawless one, the man of sin, the one that's referred to as the Antichrist, before he steps on the scene, there will be the falling away.
Amen.
And what we're watching today, Brother Davis, I believe, as our callers have so, each one have so greatly and so easily said and so clearly said, there's a problem that we're not doing anything as a church. And it's because the church in general has apostatized. It's fallen away.
Amen.
There's been the desensitizing in the lives and the hearts of so many that say that they're saved, and so they've not been ready. We need to be ready. And you go back again to the analogy that I used earlier, speaking of the 10 virgins found, 5 wise and 5 foolish, that's found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And what is it talking about? They're being prepared. They did not have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit was not in the hearts and the lives. And we find that today so often. And I believe that's part and parcel of the problem that we're seeing in relationship to not being prepared and not being ready. And it's causing fright and fear in the church and among believers and among Christians. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you. You know, the virgins, I see that during the time of Jacob's trouble, the Great Tribulation. And the way I see the church, and with all due respect, that we are the church, and the church is more vibrant than ever individually now, and some pastors are going to their flock and homes and elders, etc., and it's reverting back to the way it was in the early chapters of Acts of the Holy Spirit. So I see, rather than a falling away, I see God organizing the church, the believers, the called out ones, to reform. And to be really, truly the church. Because what God has fully determined upon this world is going to come to pass. And the scripture, if my people, that's a great application for us, but it primarily it's facing towards Jerusalem and has in its roots the Hebraic people.
Yes.
What saith ye, Dr. Youngblood?
Yes, you're exactly right in the context. And by the way, people have heard me say before, there are 5 things important in biblical hermeneutics, and that's context, 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 context. If it's a text out of context, it's a pretext and should never be used for a text. And so in the first understanding of the Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, for 14 in particular, it is as a result of Solomon's dedicatory prayer for the temple that was just built, and it was God's response to that dedicatory prayer, and it's speaking in the first sense of the context to the Hebraic people, no question about that. But in application, if my people, we could apply that for the Christians today, if my people, which you call my name, we call ourselves Christians. Let me go back to another point that you mentioned that I find interesting and absolutely, there's that little element there that's the little nugget that I must pull out for our listeners to understand. Yes, I believe the church, the real church, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and well and vibrant. But I believe that it's so minuscule in comparison to the total number that call themselves the church that it is almost covered with that because multitudes today, multitudes of pastors are willing to sit at home, hide under the bed or hide in the closet. And I'm using hiding under the bed as Attorney General Barr has said that many are hiding under the bed. And I say that multitudes today of pastors should be leading the flock in a very front leadership role to say, we're going to open our churches. We're going to do our weddings. We're going to have the funerals. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're hiding under the bed and saying, look what we're doing by technology. Technology is wonderful, wonderful. But listen carefully. I believe that in the last of the last days, we will see the socialist, Marxist, communist system that will shut down the internet or so shadow ban the internet that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be shut down completely if we're depending on the internet to get the gospel out. I believe that we have been deceived as a nation, especially as true Christians. But you're exactly right. I believe the real Christian, the real element of Christianity and biblical truth is still alive and well. But because we're looking at the big picture of what is called the church, glibly speaking, that is those church members, and not looking at the ones that are truly blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again.
Amen. Well, as you said, Dr. Youngblood, my basic outlook on this whole thing and my interest at heart is to take as many of the people to heaven as
Amen.
I can. You know, I don't want to see... I don't even want to see my worst enemy.
That's right.
Left out of heaven because Jesus died on the cross for him also.
Amen.
But what we have got to understand today as the church, the called out ones, I have a scripture here in 1 Timothy 5, just one verse. He said in verse number 10, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God,
yes,
who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe.
Amen.
We are being prosecuted, persecuted, suffering reproach, ridicule, called everything but a child of God.
Yes.
We know that.
Yes.
But yet and still, our motive, our whole goal behind the whole thing as ministers of the gospel is to take as many people to heaven as we can.
Amen.
So how can we do this? We have to equip the church with knowledge.
Right.
We have to let them know what the word of God
Amen.
Says in particular.
Amen.
So that we can all be blessed together collectively as the body of Christ.
Amen.
And let the whole world see what God can do through a life that's totally yielded to him.
Amen.
And Dr. Youngblood, I'm so anxious to see that on today. I want to be in that number. Amen. I just want to be a part of that remnant, one of those faithful few
that's right.
are standing for holiness and standing for righteousness
Amen.
And standing on the word of
that's
God.
That's right. The great missionary William Carey said, attempt great things from God expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And that's what we need to do. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question or the comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. This is Ron Evans again. I just wanted to say what I explain what I meant by when Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth." Everything is done perfectly, and I know you know this. Everything is done perfectly in heaven,
yes.
And here on earth, He expects the same. He expects obedience of His children, but He also expects us to understand the times. And if we've been preaching what's about to happen, what's coming up, then that's what I mean. If it's good for us to pray, if we should humble ourselves and pray, but if He's already shown us what's about to happen, then I think He's shown us because there's a preparation that needs to take place, that should have been taking place, that should have been on the plate of all believers.
Amen.
And that's pretty much what I want to say. Thank you.
Yes, well, brother, you're right. Thank you so much for that. And that wonderful part of the Lord's Prayer there, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And ladies and gentlemen, that shall take place during the days of the millennial reign. As we pray that prayer, we're saying, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.